weeks ago, and I was looking and saw the signboard of a church, and it caught my attention, and it said, established in 1790. I thought to myself, we are about to change our signboard in the front. I hopefully it will happen soon. Maybe we should add established in first century. So, another one I was, this is a little more personal. Just a few weeks ago, I was kind of very busy running around, getting things done, was tired, came home in the evening, and I was a little bit irritated and worried about things that I either saw or heard or in my soul. And I came home for dinner, and at the dinner, I went to grab a cup to warm up some water for me. And I reached, opened the cabinet, and I reached for the cup. Two words written on the cup. We had that cup for, I don't know how long. It says, be still. And it caught my attention immediately. I may have read it before, but I was so tired and irritated in my mind. I shouldn't say the irritated, I mean, I can't lack of another word. But anyway, when I reached the cup, he says, be still. And the same week, I was reading through the scriptures, come to Psalm 46 and verse 10, and says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes the Lord has a different way of talking to us. It's not necessarily a coffee cup sometime, but Lord has very simple way of communicating to us in various ways. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind and your soul open as the Lord speaks to your hearts. We are going to look at Luke chapter 5. And this is a passage and a story that is probably most of us have either learned in Sunday school, you heard messages on it, and it is also very likely that you may have preached on this subject at some point in your own life. This is about the story where the Lord was at the Sea of Galilee, borrowing Peter's boat, asking him to go and do the fishing. Let's look at chapter 5 and verse 1. We'll read the first 11 verses, 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. So it was, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the Lake Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat, both boats, and so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so as also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. If you look at the stage set for this scene, it's very important that the stage behind the scene, just before this happened, in chapter 4, we can see that it is almost at the very beginning of the ministry of our Lord. When the stage is set, we see that his authority has been established in chapter 4. We read in chapter 4, verse 32, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. So the Lord Jesus Christ established his authority before that. Then they recognized that he was authority and power, not just simply authority in what he's doing, but he also had the authority and power in verse 36. This is chapter 4, verse 36. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits," and they came out. Well, another step goes forward. The demons knew that he was the Christ. In verse 41, the demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." You see the steps of recognizing him as the King of Kings, the true Christ. First they said he has authority, then they said he has authority and power, and the demons came out and said he is the Christ, the Son of God. A progressive knowledge and understanding of him. And that is very true even today, isn't it? Our knowledge of our Savior is a progressive, ongoing, step by step, day by day, year, week after week, year after year, knowing about him, which we have many times heard from this pulpit. I want to pause for a moment and ask you and ask myself, in your Christian walk of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, where do you stand today? Maybe you knew the Lord for 5, 10 years, 20 years. In my case, it is almost 60 years now, pretty close. Where do I stand in the knowledge and understanding of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we know him as our Savior. That was step one. But here we see the progressive and recognizing and knowing of Christ as the Son of God. Now, the Lord is in the synagogue of Galilee. He was very busy preaching. In verse 44, he was preaching in the synagogue of Galilee, we read. So, as the scene is already set, after establishing his authority and power, he is at this moment in the synagogues and teaching. And then we come to verse 1 of chapter 5. This word is simply an amazing word. It says, "So it was, the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God." The multitude pressed to hear the word of God. And if you examine the surrounding of the scene, which I want to take for a moment and look around and see what is the surrounding that the Lord is here at this time. For sure, he is at the Sea of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, the other word for it. And we see, first of all, an empty boat and an empty net. And then we see, if you look around, you'll see the empty net is being washed by his disciples. And then we see a bunch of experienced fishermen, including Peter and other disciples who were with them. And at that point of time, they were the disappointed fishermen, I should say. So if you look around, the scene is set that with an empty boat, an empty net being washed, and some experienced but disappointed fishermen that are standing around. Peter and James were partners in business. And three of them were partners in business. And we also read, as we read in the passage, we already read, they caught nothing, it says. Nothing. Zip. Zero. Not even one fish. Not even a little something. That's what it means. And remember, mind you, these are experienced fishermen. And they got nothing. They were perhaps in a wrong location. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to guess here. They were perhaps in a wrong location, irrespective of their experience. They said they did not spend 2 hours and said, "Oh, we didn't catch. Let's go home." It says they spent all night looking for fish and caught nothing. Well, I believe God had a plan for them for that night. Why did they not catch anything? It stopped me to think, why did not Peter catch even one fish? But looking at the story we have in front of us, we know that God had a definite plan and purpose for that day, that they will not catch anything. It is not their lack of experience, it is not of their lack of knowledge or anything. Sometimes we do not recognize ourselves. A practical application that through our failures, God had a greater plan and purpose for which He wants to fulfill in our life. Yes, we will go through not catching fishes all night. Yes, you may toil for something in your life, and the end, the result may not be the one we are looking for. But remember, the Lord, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Lord may have a plan and a purpose for your failure, and make use of that failure into a success and bring glory and honor to Him. It can be done, and it will be done. It has been done in the life of many through their testimonies that we have known and heard. And here we see again these men who were so experienced and they caught nothing. And that's a scene that is set around. Now we come to our passage. This is introduction. The scene is set, an empty net, an empty boat, and very disappointed fishermen standing around or working. The Lord was able to use that empty boat, and He came to Peter and said, "Peter, please push this boat out in a little further so I can preach, so people can hear." If you have ever been to Sea of Galilee and that surrounding, it is a beautiful scene. Multiple hundreds and thousands of people can hear you if you are out there in the water facing them to the land, and they can hear you very clearly. Almost 20 years ago, we were there, me and Molly were there, and some others were with us. And we were there in the boat, and a brother from Florida, he's with the Lord now, he took us there. And as the boat moved away from the water and just a few feet away, and this brother said, "George, you are going to preach." I was so surprised. Luckily, I had a Bible with me. I went to the same passage where it says this passage, and I started preaching from the same passage. You can hear very well. And the Lord said, "Please move it." Why did He have to move? Look at verse 1. It says, "It was multitude pressed to Him." What a scene it is. The multitude was longing to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preaching. Today, even 35 minutes is too long. You know, people will go to sleep. Or they will say, "When is He going to stop?" At 11 o'clock, people will start looking at the clock and watch and looking at you and look at your clock. They do this. These were the people who had a desire to hear the word of God. And they pressed to Him so hard, so He had to move away into the water so they can preach unto Him, unto them. And He came, there are two boats. Why did He not use the other boat? And I stopped and thought about it. There are two boats. Why did not the Lord Jesus choose the other boat? We read that the Lord does what He wants to do. He chooses people whom He wants to use. If I were there in the boat, I would have said, "Why did He use Peter? Why not my boat?" I could have been the one. The Lord has plans and purpose for your life very different than the purpose and plan for another life. Don't try to say, "Why didn't I not get that opportunity?" But you've been given another opportunity. As we come through this lesson, we will see that. And the second thing in that circumstances we see is the net being washed. It's a common practice that fishermen know the net need to be washed almost every day, every time they use it. Because the net get dirty. You are throwing the net into the dirty water. When you pull it out, not only the fish they get dirt also. They have to keep it clean every time they use it. And if you are in the service of the Lord, doing anything for the Lord, this is very true. You have to keep ourselves clean in our life. Life is an ongoing cleansing process. Our brother read earlier, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. We have to clean ourselves every single time. Confess our sin and wash yourself and be clean. Yes, the boat will get dirty. Yes, the net will get dirty. But we must clean it on a daily basis as we come before him. And we look at this 11 verses, we see 8 lessons which I want to quickly address and try to finish on time. Now Peter had the most devoted possession of Peter was what? It is his boat. Without his boat, he has no work. Without his boat, he has nothing to, his business, his life was totally dependent. And that's all he had, and perhaps a net. This boat was one of the most devoted possession that Peter had. And the Lord Jesus, and when the Lord came, the boat was ready for the master's use. Let me ask you this. There are a lot of devoted things in our life, maybe your own life itself. Maybe other things that you consider precious and in your life. Devoted things in your life, not the unimportant ones, but most devoted stuff in your life, is it available for the master's use? Is the question to answer yourself. And Peter was very happy and willing to let the master use his boat. Like I said earlier, sometimes we may wonder, why Peter's boat, why not mine? And you know how many thousands of people were reached by handing over that boat to the Savior, and he was preaching to them. And also, you know, notice there, the most devoted possession that Peter handed over to the Lord was rewarded by him. Beloved, every service we do to the Lord in our life will be rewarded either here or in eternity. Sometimes you may see the blessings here. Sometimes you may or may not see the blessings here. But it will be truly rewarded in heaven. It didn't go waste. Peter didn't have to look back and say, oh, I shouldn't, what a waste. I wasted my boat. I wasted my time. No. Well, we will come to that in a moment. A devoted possession that was given to the master's use. How about yours? Now verse 4 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch into the deep and let your nets for a catch. A gracious commission by the Savior. A gracious commission by the Savior to Peter. Peter could have said, well, he already he mentioned it, but our problem is a lot of time when the Lord graciously asks you to do something or something for him, we always have excuses. We all despair over our weakness and say, I am weak, I am unworthy, I am not me, Lord, please choose somebody else. The Lord speak to our hearts to serve him in one thing, seen or unseen, one way or the other, we always have excuses. And Peter could have used that. False humbleness costs the church today. False humbleness costs the church today. The service that you and I could provide to the God's people, to the church as a group, because of our false humbleness, we would say, I'm nobody. Why didn't you ask Samathai? False humbleness has cost the church around the globe. I'm not talking here. I'm talking around the globe. And it costs people today. As the Lord reveals the truth to us, we should be willing to learn and change our We should be, as Christians, we should be teachable all our life. And Peter could have enough experience and say, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to do anything. Because I know better, Lord. That should not be our attitude. Notice the fish was there in that sea. Fish didn't go anywhere. Just because they didn't catch that doesn't mean there was no fish. There was so much there that we know that they caught enough. The Lord said, launch out into the deep. Sometimes our practices and our things that we do may have to be slightly different
Peter may have gone to the west coast of the sea, and the Lord may have asked him, I don't know, I'm assuming here, but the Lord may have asked him to go to the east side and cast, launch out into the deep, underline the word deep. Not just simply go and throw the net, a particular spot that Lord had. We need to be changing our methods of launching out to the wherever the fish is. You probably have heard this before. Where do you go fishing? Well, so if our young children are growing up in such a way, they may say Walmart or something. But where do you go fishing? Where the fish is. We go where the fish is, and the Lord knew exactly where it is. And they went. In Psalm 107 and verse 4, we read that they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. This is a little commentary on the people of Israel. They wandered in the desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. What was the problem? Was there no food? Was there no cities around? Simply that because they did not find it doesn't mean it wasn't there. We don't find sometimes spiritual satisfaction and understanding and knowing of the Lord and way to serve the Lord, not because it is not there, because simply we did not find. That was the problem with these men who were so experienced over their years. Well, it is a devoted possession, a gracious commission, and number three is a humbling confession. Peter made a very humbling confession. What did he say? Lord, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. It is a very hard thing to admit something like this, especially if you are a well-experienced person in what you do. You know, sometimes in my old workplaces, we tell people, if you don't know, just say, you don't know. We won't punish you. We'll treat you. We'll train you. We will make you understand. We'll help you to work. False humbleness is a great big problem among the people all over the world, especially for Christians. Peter was able to confess before the Lord his failure. It is okay to fail. I'm not advocating failure, but if it happens, tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry, I failed. I know we caught all, we toiled all night. They were not lazy men, but they toiled, it says. Underline the word toil. Hard-working men. They worked all night. And they did catch nothing, it says. And they confessed before him, a humbling confession, confessing the failure. He was being very honest before the Lord. Give glory to God when he blesses us. Psalm 30 verse 11 says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. This is literally true to Peter in a few moments here. This is literally true. And number four is a God-honoring resolution that Peter made. God-honoring resolution. What did he do? Verse 5 says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Now, that sounds like a very simple statement. After confessing his failure before the Lord, saying, Lord, I labored all night and I didn't catch anything. But this Lord is still asking Peter, please launch out into the deep. And Peter said, Lord, at thy word, I will let down the net. What a humbling experience that Peter had that day. What an obedience. Lord, at thy word, I will do this. Brothers and sisters, whatever you do, wherever you live, whatever you do in your life, in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do what is at his word and what he says, I guarantee there will be benefits and fruitfulness in your life. I get a daily quote from somewhere on my Facebook, and this yesterday, every day I get one. Yesterday was, it said, the Lord doesn't help those who think they can run their life by themselves. That's what he said. The Lord doesn't help to those who think they can run their life themselves. This was probably the problem with Peter. But he confessed and said, Lord, I failed. But I, that thy word, I will let down the net. What an honoring resolution that it was. Make a fresh start on his authority. Yes, you failed. Make a fresh start on his authority. Lord, at thy will. But not my in my experience, but at thy authority. Launching at his word. Peter said, I will. If the Lord asks you ever to do something impossible or something that you already failed at, go do it again, will you say, yes, I will. At your word. Number five is, and the result is an amazing satisfaction. Verse 6 we read, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. I paused when I was reading this. I paused at that point and thought about it. That I don't think Peter and their companions ever had such a catch. Ever. And they caught so much. And their net was about to break. What an amazing satisfaction for a humble obedience and confession of Peter's failure. They were more successful out of season here than in season. If Peter was asked from his experience, Peter say, okay, Lord, it is almost 9 o'clock in the morning. We toiled all night. This is not the time when the fish comes. This is out of season for me. No fisherman goes out fishing in the morning at 10, 9 o'clock. Well, some people who has nothing to do, they may do it. But experienced fishermen won't do it. For him, it is an out of season. But look at the result. The catch was greater than at the out of season than in season in the mind of Peter. They were more successful there. Sometimes old methods are to be changed, to be broken. If you want to catch, old methods may be changed. And number six, now we are seeing that they got so much, their boat is about to sink. Their net is about to break. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. A brotherly cooperation in verse 7. They beckoned their partners. Sufficient for both ships. Avoid selfish pride and selfish. Even now, owner of the second boat, I would probably at that point, well, you chose Peter's boat, you caught more, if your net breaks, I would rather net break, but I will not cooperate. They were beckoned and say, please come, our net is full, come on, help. Brotherly cooperation is lacking today. There's some people are laboring day and night. They could probably use some help, at least on your knees to pray for them, to help them out. It is very seldom found. God has overloaded with the work, overloaded with the things of sometimes in the mission field. But a brotherly cooperation was necessary and they were willing to go. They avoided their pride and selfishness and said, yes, we will come and help you. The blessing was almost equal to both of them, right? Both boat were filled. The blessings come to those who are willing to cooperate and help, not to the onlookers. On that scene, if you look around, there are many onlookers in that seashore looking at what's happening. None of them got the blessing. Only for those who came and helped the master and his disciples. Pride causes us to say, he did not use my boat, so I am not helping. But that's not what these people said. They were able to go out and help. Today, the churches are spiritually weak and have problems, simply not because that, not the lack of blessing, but because there is lack of abundant teaching, but there is too many onlookers in the churches today. Too many onlookers. And now, last night, this thought came, and I was reviewing my notes here, since this thought came to me, I don't know if it's applicable, I'm going to say it anyway. People go to church with a bucket. So you can receive and start to keep filling and take it home. Nothing to offer, nothing to give. This world is, churches are full of that. People are full of that. These pews are empty because there are people don't come here because they cannot always fill their buckets and take home. But they might have to get up and do some things and serve the Lord. Onlookers do not share any blessing. Number 7, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." 2 times he confessed. 1 time he said, "Lord, we toiled all night and we didn't catch anything." And 2nd time he says, "Lord, I am a sinful man. Depart from me." What is Peter's sin here? Have you thought about it? What sin is Peter talking about? What do you think Peter's sin here is? Well, we could come up with many answers, but my thought is, earlier when Peter said, "Lord, we toiled all night," meaning, you know what? We know better. There's nothing here is going to happen. There's a little pride in his statement, saying that, "Lord, we toiled all night." The pride of sin, Peter understood later and said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man." Yes, it may have a reference to a humanity under sinful conditions, but here in particularly, I believe Peter is confessing his sin of pride that he thought that Lord, he knew better. Goodness of God must lead us to repentance. When Lord blesses us, will it take us to repent before him? Success should not lead us to pride and feeling of self-sufficiency. This is one of the biggest problem when I talk to people. Wherever you go, wherever you travel, you'll see people who are feeling self-sufficient and pride because they have been blessed so much. But in Peter's case, it brought him down on his knees to understand his weakness, his sin, his pride, and his, "Lord, I am a sinful man." And lastly, verse number 8, he had a complete consecration. Verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is probably the highlight of the story. Who in the world will ever leave when they have a boat full of fish, take it to the market and make money? This is my time. The Lord blessed me so much. I'm going to use this to take this to the market, sell it, and I may even give it to the Lord's work. Not Peter. They forsook all. And I mean, when that word all means, I don't think they took one fish. They forsook the fish, they forsook the boat, they forsook the net. Well, forsaking is one thing. If you want to do a full commitment, a complete consecration before Lord, you can forsake a lot of things. That's what a lot of Hinduism teaches. You forsake all comfort. You go to the Himalayas and persecute yourself. They forsake more than we do. Well, that will not take us nowhere or take us anywhere. What's the last word he says? And followed him. They forsake everything and followed him. Why did they follow him? Because they knew they had everything. If they had the Lord in their midst with them, they knew it was everything for them. So we had 8 different spiritual lessons that I picked up from here. A devoted possession, a gracious commission, a humbling confession, a God-honoring resolution and amazing satisfaction, a brotherly cooperation, an unfeigned humiliation, a complete consecration before God. Just a few days ago, I was reading the news. Sometimes the computer, when you boot it up, it comes up with the news. So one news is this. Mr. Jerry Brown, the outgoing governor of California, the largest state in USA, will retire this year after 45 years of service in politics at the age of 79. He led the state through various high-level positions and on, blah, 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 they said. My comment on that statement is, he helped to destroy the state, both morally and economically, in 45 years. Well, that's my comment. The news didn't say that. But the important part is, here is what he said in a recent interview while he was sitting in his chair in the 2,500-acre ranch, and a chair next to him, and he was sitting on a chair, and his dog, Colusa, sleeping on a chair next to him. He was asked, after 45 years of serving this world, Mr. Brown, after nearly half a century of service to the state, here you are left with a piece of land and a dog sitting next to you. And the reporter asked him this question: what do you think? What you gained? And this is what he replied: I think I am going to be okay with that. Brothers and sisters, you can serve this world all your life. Give all you have. Pour out your life, whether it is good or bad, in this man's case. But the end, what does he have for satisfaction? A little piece of land and a dog sitting next to him. I want you to examine your life. I want you to look at your life. At the end of your life, what will be the result you can carry on in your life when we see the Lord face to face? Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this morning once again for thy precious word. Pray that this may speak to my own heart and every one of us here in this room, that there's a day coming that we will stand before our Savior and ask this question: what have you done with your life? May this lesson together that we look together may be a blessing to my own heart and each one of ours. May our time of fellowship together and our continued study from thy word, that may bless our hearts. We give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.